I'm happy to be here today. I have a short message for you. I'd like everybody, if we would, to turn to Matthew's, the book of Matthew's, chapter 18. It's the book of Matthew's, chapter 18. And it says, and I'm reading out of the New International Version. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them, and he said, "I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like a little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me." You know, we can learn a lot from children. Children come into the world fresh, new, and safe in God's eyes. They are what we were at one time. Jesus said we must become like little children again if we want to go to heaven. What does he mean? When we look at children, let's start off with love. Children have no conditions for their love, if you haven't noticed. The younger they are, the less, you know, when you start growing older, teenagers on up, you start tending to have these conditions after the world gets a hold of you. But you know, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him, according to 1 John 4:16. Children don't seem to place a condition for their love like grown-ups, as I said. With us older people, we have terms and conditions for our love. If you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. If you treat me right, I'll treat you the same. But what does Jesus say about this? Let's turn to Matthew's, still in the book of Matthew's. This time to chapter 5. And in chapter 5, I'll be reading from right around verse 43. Jesus said, "You've heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and send rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." As I said before, we do have conditions as we get older. We do tend to do that. You know, we love the people who love us, and we always take the path of least resistance. But Christ is saying we need to do more. That love has to extend to everybody, no matter how you get treated. And for those who treat you wrong, pray for them. Always had that love. We always had to have that open heart. After all, how can we convince people to come to Christ if we're bigoted as to who we talk to? As we have gotten older, living in the world has hardened our hearts. And we become selfish with our love, giving it to a precious few. And of course, that's not what Jesus told us to do. As he said before, we are to love even our enemies. So that basically includes everybody. Children don't seem to have that problem. Their love is pure, innocent, and real. You know, when one of my grandkids hugs me, it's one of the greatest feelings in the world. You can feel the love as they clamp down on you. There's nothing fake about that. Pure, not watered down, love. You know, I was with my granddaughters a few weeks ago. And man, my youngest one come up to me and just tight as she possibly can. You can't beat that. You don't get that much anymore. You know, it's almost like a treat to have somebody love you that much, and you know in your heart that it's pure, that there's no conditions with it, that they're not just faking or just putting on a show, that is there, they, because they truly do love you, happy to see you, and, you know, that's just something that you don't get much in the world anymore. You know, we as Christians should ask ourselves this. Do we have that love that we had as children? Let's take a look at 1 John for a minute. Chapter 4. Right around verse 19. And it says, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet he hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And you know, we need to probe our hearts in a sincere way to make sure that's exactly what we're doing. Because like I said before, it's easy to love people who love us. It's easy to love people who don't cause us any problems. But as Christians, we are to love everybody. So it's good if we sit down by ourselves sometimes and really just probe and think about it. Just take a look in the mirror at yourself and see what it's telling you about that. Another thing about young people is forgiveness. As children, we were very forgiving. As children, when we fought with our brothers and sisters or our friends while playing, our parents would tell us, go say you're sorry. Shake their hands and make up and get outside and play. And forgetting all about, just forgetting everything that just happened, that's exactly what they do. You ever notice that about kids? They can be fighting like cats and dogs and you just sit up there and say, look, that's wrong. I want you to make up with one another, shake hands, hug, or however some people do it, and then get back out there and play. They almost pick up exactly where they left off before the fight started. That's forgiveness. That's something that we once had when we were their age. It seems that children start off in the right condition. They're always ready to forgive, no matter what the situation may be. And you know, that includes bad parents, bad relatives, bad people. You know, growing up, I've unfortunately had to see a lot of bad parenting going on. And you know, through all of that, the kids are still loving those parents, still loyal to them, no matter what happens to them. Instead of thinking that the parents are mean or unloving, or the uncles or aunts or grandparents or whoever it may be, is they think maybe they've done something wrong. But they're always forgiven, no matter what kind of punishment or anything that's put on them. They always had that forgiving, loving heart. You can count on them 3 hours later to come back to you and act as though nothing's never happened. That's the way we're supposed to be. That's one thing that we used to have, those of us who are grown, when we were children. And we lost that. We allowed the world to take hold of us and teach us all the things that we're not supposed to, or that we should not do. Let's turn to Matthew's chapter 18. Right around verse 21. Peter asked a question. It says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forget my forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? You know, we like to place limits on how far we're going to forgive somebody. You know, we might forgive them the first 2 times they do it. But then after that, nah. But here's what Jesus said in his answer in verse 22. I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Or some verses would say 70 times 7. In other words, unlimited. That's the way that we should be. That's the way it was when we were younger. That's something that we had to get back to. That's what Christ was talking about. Now let's read what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. And this time I'm looking right around at verse 14. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, Jesus said, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." So see, we have to be forgiving people if we want the Lord to forgive us. As bad as we are sometimes, you know, we always look at everybody else's sin, but what about your own? We have a lot to be forgiven that we would like the Lord to forgive us for. But if we're not forgiving people for the small little things that they may be doing to us, how are we supposed to have the Lord forgive us for all the major things that we've done in our disobedience throughout our lives? As I said, as we have gotten older, our hearts harden and we find it harder and harder to forgive and forget. We'll also say, "I'll forgive him when he changes or meets my conditions for forgiveness." A lot of times we want to sit up there and go, "I'm a Christian, but he's going to be only forgiven when I say he's going to be forgiven." And as we have already read, the conditions for forgiveness have already been set by Christ. You know, Christ was spit on. He was beaten, called names, treated horribly, and yet he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Luke 23:34. He was our example. And if he can go through all of the stuff that he went through and still was able to forgive us, what about the little petty things that we have to go through? That we sit up there and never forgive people for. When you look at it that way, it seems petty compared to what Christ went through. And when we're talking about love and when we're talking about forgiveness, another thing about young people is wanting to learn. I remember when I was young in Sunday school class, it was fun learning about God and His Son and how He created the world. We sang songs of His love for us with smiles on our faces and gladness in our hearts, eager to tell what we had learned and believe in what we had learned. Taking something that doesn't belong to you is stealing. Not telling the truth is lying, and etc. We believed it because it was in the Bible. So is God's Word. As we get older, though, we play with God's Word. We change them just a little just to suit our situation. We call it a white lie, as though there was such a thing. We justify our stealing when the Bible doesn't. We close our eyes and ears when what we've learned doesn't suit us. Yet we want our Heavenly Father to see and hear us. You know, we do that sometimes. Sometimes we get our kids involved. Go to the door and tell them I'm not here. go to the phone and tell them I'm not here. I'm busy. I can't answer. I can't talk. It's just a little thing. Or we sit up there and lie about a situation and say, well, I'm doing it because I don't want to hurt their feelings. Even though at some point their feelings are going to get hurt when they find out. And they're going to be hurt a little bit more when they find out that their loved ones knew about it all the time. If we would, I would like us to turn, or if you want to Isaiah. This is a very familiar verse. Chapter 59. Something that we should be reminded of all the time. And this is what the Lord said through Isaiah. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. We need to keep that burning desire to want to learn what the Lord would have us to do. And we should. As I said before, as we, you know, when we're younger, we accept this teaching. When we become older, when that teaching doesn't suit us and what we want to do in life, then all of a sudden we decide to interpret the Bible the way we want to interpret it. But that's going to get us in trouble. That's going to separate us from God. It isn't that God leaves us. It's that we leave him when we decide to do and go on our own direction and write our own laws about how life should be. If we can now, I would like us to turn to 1 Peter. I'm sorry if I got you turning too much, but I always like to not only read what it says, but to make sure everybody else understands that it is in God's book. 1 Peter chapter 2, at verse 1, it says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. When we were baptized, those us Christians, when we were baptized, we were given a second chance. And the Lord, you know, when we was given that second chance, all of the other stuff was wiped away. We were given a clean slate to start over. To have that heart as a young child again, to go back to the way things were supposed to be. We need to remember that. And as newborn babes, like it says, all the malice and deceit and hypocrisy, envy, slander and of every kind, that should be gone from our lives now. And we should be craving what the Lord would have us do. And studying it day by day. Our Savior is telling us in Matthew 18:1-5 that if we want to be with him in heaven, we must go back to the heart and attitude we once had as children, before our hearts and minds were subdued by the world. You know, Christ loved us so much that he came here, lived under the law, became an example for us to follow. And then he suffered and died for us and rose again, never to die anymore, giving us every chance to one day be with him. Loved us so much. And you know, he knew what he was going to have to go through when he came down here. How many of us would make that sacrifice of love? Knowing that we're going to have to go through the torture and everything that Christ went through. Now, that's love. And you know, he knew this at the beginning of time. But yet he loved us so much that he wasn't going to back down. He was going to do it anyway. And he was going to be obedient to his Father, which is what he did. if you're still in 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 17. This is what Peter is saying. He says, since you call on the Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of your life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so, your faith and your hope are in God. Goes on to say, now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. Again, like I said, sincere love. I mean, that love that, you know, my love for you should be the same love I have, I should be willing to do the same things that I would do with my own family, with my own kids, with my own wife, as far as helping you out and you know, as brothers and sisters. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we should have that attitude towards one another. That attitude, that forgiving attitude with one another. That helpful attitude with one another. And we should be able to do that with all of, even those who are our enemies. You know, our job is to show that we have a living God that we believe in. A just God that we believe in. We should live our lives in such a way that people know that we're going to heaven, that people see us and that they know that we are convinced in what we believe in and what we say and how we act. We had a second chance through baptism. And Jesus' blood washes us from our sins. Even now. Think about that. Let us be what God would have us to be. And let us have and keep that heart and attitude of innocent children. That pure heart that God wants us to have. You know, not pure on our level of pure, but pure on God's level of pure. You know, we might be angry with our brothers and sisters for a minute, but it should only be for a minute. Once we remember that they are brothers and sisters, or even our enemies, God still created them. They still have a soul. They still have a chance. You know, I was talking to... in Wednesday night's class, we was talking about love and being long-suffering. And I was talking about some of the customers I have. I've had a couple of them for 20 years. And, you know, I used to think it's like, you're like, honey, you get it on your hands and you can't shake it off. No matter what I do, they wouldn't leave. They were torturing me every time I come to the house and we'd be ready to, my boss would be like, Steve, cut them loose. Couldn't do it. I just kept on being me, year after year in some cases. But you know, finally some of those people started recognizing something in me, started recognizing that they're not going to yank my chain, started recognizing that they're not going to be able to do it. And then, you know, it got them to be a little curious. And some of those people now are some of my best customers, most trusting, loyal customers. They bring other people to me and stuff. Why? Because my attitude stayed the same. I tried to keep that Christian attitude, no matter what they threw at me. I tried to be the same person, the one that God would have me to be. And after all of that time, no matter how long it took, they began to recognize something about me. And they began to say, you know, I might be wrong, but I think you just might be a Christian. And you know, that's what people should say about us. So think about that. You know, children, like I said before, they're long-suffering. with their love. Always forgiving with their forgiveness. Always willing to learn. And the reason why a lot of people end up going the worldly way is because when we're learning, when they in all that willingness to learn, sometimes they learn from the wrong people. Because Christians, good Christians, sit there and do nothing. We need to change that around. We need to not only go back to that childlike attitude that Christ would have us to have, but make sure our children keep that childlike attitude that they already do have. Try to keep that purity. Try to stay in that state that God would have us to be in at all times. And if there is anybody here that hasn't been baptized, I'm going to tell you, you're missing out on a lot. Obedience is one of the things that is required of a Christian. And if you want to be forgiven, one of the first things you have to do is you do have to be baptized according to Scripture, according to Mark 16:15-16. And there's other scriptures along those lines. In order to be closer to Him, to only be considered a child of God and have Him to be your Father. That's one of the first steps you have to take. When it comes to children, they already have a lot of the things, but as we become to be older, we need that blood. Because as we start recognizing good from evil and deciding to start do evil, we start pushing ourselves away from God. And those who have not been baptized, you're kind of far away from God. If you want to be closer to God, if you want to be one of His kids, children, you need to obey His loving command. I just ask that you please consider the words that I say. Consider it in your heart. Search your hearts out to see if you are, which side of the fence are you on? As we sing the song that was chosen for our Savior's invitation.